I hope that you have the pages. I don't know, if people kept it or they didn't keep it. We're learning in order to help us understand the Torah that we're learning now in Aris HaKadosh. We've been learning Igeres Tav Pei Gimel, the letter, one of the many letters that Rav Kook wrote. One of the many letters that Rav Kook wrote on this subject of the urgency, the absolute urgency of learning Limudim of Amuna, of Pnimius HaTaira. And we're on page 193. Some of you might recall it's already before Yontif. We're learning this letter, this Sefer Siach Rai, which the Machabi here is helping us along and explaining, helping us to understand Rav Kook's letter. So we're on page 193. I don't know if we'll finish. We'll try to finish the letter today so we can get back next Erev Shabbos to Aris HaKadosh. In the middle of page 193, where it says, V'lo menelech bedrachim rechaikim. Every single word that the tzaddik wrote over here is Mama speaking to us now. In many ways, more than ever before. More than ever. V'lo menelech bedrachim rechaikim. Why do we have to seek all kinds of cures for the problem of our generation? The problems of our generation. Why do we have to seek all kinds of cures that are bedrachim rechaikim, that are really far away from us and very distant from our own that Hashem has given before us. Hader ha'kvush of Yisrael lefenenu. Hader ha'kvush of Yisrael lefenenu means that there's a path that's before us that we have, that was given to us. Hashem's Baruch gave us the Torah is the tavlin, the Torah is the cure, and Hashem's Baruch gave us a cure. And if He gave us the medicine that we needed throughout all of time, then certainly for the end of time, where we need it more desperately than ever, when a patient, Khalil, is very, very sick, he needs, like Rabbi Nachman says, he needs a bigger doctor, more chashev of medicine when he's very sick. You can't just give any medicine and use any doctor for somebody who, Lo'alena, was very sick. So if at the end of time, this sickness of being chayla sahava, I once spoke to you about, when Shlomo Melech says Chayla Sahava, you look in the parish of the Netziv, when it says in Shir Hashim Chayla Sahava, the simple pshat that say Chayla Sahava is that I'm lovesick. That's when somebody's crazy in love. So Shlomo Melech was lovesick for Hashem, and he said Ki Chayla Sahava ani, Chayla Sahava ani. But the Netziv learns Ki Chayla Sahava ani means I am so sick I can't feel your love anymore. I'm sick to be able to feel your love. I can't feel it anymore. I don't know what it means anymore. Seriously, any typical Jew like ourselves, what do we understand? Bechlal, when somebody asks you, what does it mean to love Hashem? You say, Vahavta. What does it mean to love Hashem? Chilas Ahavani. The Netziv says that it means that we're so sick, we don't even know anymore how to get to Hashem's love. We don't know how to feel that love for Him and how to feel that He loves us. So certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the cure for this sickness. The cure for this sickness is in the Torah. We don't have to look in all kinds of drachim or chaykim to find the cure for the sickness of our generation, which is chayla sahava. He writes, ha-pitaron, the solution is that Rav Kook's language is in the bold letters, and then if the parish on comes down the computer, the cure for the sickness of kfira. Now, kfira means, of course, heresy. And Rav Kook's time, this distance from Hashem, we spoke about this many times, especially when we learned the Maimon HaDor. And Rav Kook's time, distance from Hashem came out in the levush of kfira, of outright atheism and heresy. I mean, atheism, a fight against God, because there were people that mamish believed in Hashem, so they were fighting, you know, with kfira, kaifrim. Rav Kook was fighting against kfira in his time. That's how the chilas ahava was expressed, that machla was expressed in Rav Kook's days with kfira. And all the writers and philosophers, that's how it came out in Rav Kook's time. In our times, the levushim of this machla of being lovesick, being sick for Hashem's love, doesn't come out in kfira. Kfira is a levedic inyan. You know, when a person's a kaifer, he's on fire. He cares about the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's upset. He's angry. I've met people like that in my life. They're geshmak of people. They're fun to talk to. They can make you crazy, but they're mamish in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just that they're sick, and because of the sickness, and also the many of the people that I grew up knowing and seeing is that they went through terrible tzaras. So that's how the machla came out. Our chilas tahava doesn't come out anymore for the most part. You don't have such chashuv people to be kaifrim, you know, heretics. That's already a chshivas. You don't have any more. You know, people like that. There's no achad ha'am these days. Understand? People of stature and people that knew how to learn and people that were fighting against God, but because they loved God and they didn't know how to deal with Him. Now the inyan is just ashakarcha. You know, just at the end, just a coldness and a distance, and not feeling connected at all. Not feeling connected at all. It doesn't even bother me enough that I should be a kaifer, you know. I'm not a kaifer. It doesn't even bother me enough that I should stop keeping Shabbos. I'll still keep Shabbos. It doesn't bother me enough, the whole thing. Whatever, I'll keep Shabbos because my friends keep Shabbos, my parents, they'll be upset with me. I'll keep Shabbos. Whatever. But there's a chalas ahava. People are sick. We're sick. So Hashem's Baal gave the cure. You don't have to bring, he says, and then it's Shuchim Lahamtsi, Pitaron Makom Rachok. I don't have to come up with a solution from far away. Kol HaTorah, these are Rav Kook's words. Kol HaTorah B'Perusheh HaRuchniyim Kulam, Tzvi Chehilas Alas Etzleinu. The entirety of Torah, with all of their Perushim HaRuchniyim, Perush Maruchni. As you give a kid these parishes now, Tazria Mitzrayim, right? So it's now Tazria Mitzrayim. So unfortunately, here in America, I see Shmuel, that's Shmuel Sakit there. Shmuel, that's you. Ah, Shmuel. So in Eretz Yisrael, things are starting to bislach, to open up a little bit again. You have to be very careful. Things are starting to open. Here, everything is shut down. The kids are learning a little bit on computer. So It's you know, when you come to Tazri Mitzvah, like all the teachers in Rebbeim are having a great time in Vayishlach and Vayeshev, you know? And then Shmais, it's also Geshmak. Yeah, Maisha Ben, he sees a sign. Then you start to get to like Vayakal Pakude. Uh-oh. So you gotta dig deep for different yontivs, you know, to talk to the kids stuff. But then when you get to Vayikra, and in Vayikra, when you get to Tazri Mitzvah, two parashias of Negatzaraz. I never saw it. I don't know what it is. Maybe on a boat in China somebody has such a thing, God forbid. But nobody, it could never come here. Nobody has such a thing of Negatzaraz. So if the Rebbe, if the teacher is going to say over the parent at today's Shabbos table, is going to sit there like, the way that I grew up, where the Rebbe would say that he said, put your finger in the Chumash, and he would just read the Pasuk and Taich, the Pasuk, and we were sitting there. And you're sitting Yirak Rokis and Adam Demis. And what's Adam Demis and what's Yirak Rokis? I know what you're talking about, Adam Demis and Yirak Rokis. And you're reading about the Nagoyim. Okay, so then, like 20 years ago, they started to have guys to put out pictures of them, you know, like the picture books of the Nagoyim, which was supposed to help a lot. Which was just fun to look at because it's so weird. But Rav Kook says, you have to teach Kol HaTorah B'Perusheh HaRuchniyim Kulam. if you and I sit down with our kids and our grandchildren, with our students, and we say, do you know what it means, Yirakarek? You know what it means, Adam Demes? What is Adam Demes? What is a nega? What's his das? B'perusha haruchani. What does it mean? The Torah, the whole parish of Nagoyim is very, very, very relevant to us right now. It's mamish on fire right now. Now even people who are not such big amkonim in Torah, they could see they were talking about Corona, so they're making already the Tzushtel Corona with Nagoyim. I know that's probably going to be the all the drushes now. This Shabbos on Zoom and all the other things are about, and on the computer, it's all about the Nega and the coronavirus. So it is. You don't have to be a Sfasemis to figure out, you know, some connections this Shabbos. But if you don't tell the kid the Perush Aruchni of what a Nega is, you lose him. He's gone. That happened to us. That happened to us. We got lost. Because when we were kids, they didn't tell us anything about the Perush Aruchni. They just said this. They said the Pshat, in the words of Machloikis, between the Pashtonim, of what Yerakroikis and Adam Demis means. It's Machloikis between the Pashtonim. But then when I go home, and you go home and your father says, what did you learn today? So he said, nothing. I learned nothing. You didn't learn anything? No, I learned Adam Demis and Yerakroikis. I learned the different colors that come up on a person's skin. So, nothing. Now, this is still happening all the time. Rav Kook says, "Kol ha-terva perusha haruchniyim kulam tzvichi les alas etzlein." You have to learn the Torah with the perushim haruchaniyim to learn the depths of Torah, to learn what is a nega. Of course, a nega is also that disease. We don't have it now, Baruch Hashem. But what is a nega now? What's the perush haruchni of a nega now? Kol mi sheyesh oimetz bilavavo. Rav Kook comes back to this mid of oimetz. Oimetz means courage. Like Moshe kept on telling Yeshua, and Hashem kept on telling Moshe and Yeshua, chazak ve'ematz. Be strong and courageous. It takes courage. Kol mi sheyesh oimetz bilavavo. A Jew, and he's speaking now, he's giving it now to the Talmid Chachamim. He's giving it to them. Because he's saying that a lot of you know how to learn, but you're chickens. You're a bunch of chickens. You don't have this midah of Oimetz HaLev. You're not courageous. Call me Yishyesh Oimetz B'Levavo. Koach B'Ito. So first, a person who has a courageous heart. And he has also koach b'ito. I mean, he has a good pen. He knows how to write. Now it would be like a keyboard. But koach b'ito, someone that knows how to convey to the generation with his pen, to write, to teach what is an ega, what's tzaraz. V'ruach Hashem b'nishmasai. And is a yid that's alive with the Ruach Hashem, that there's the Ruach Hashem that he feels within him in his neshama. Any such Jew, Rav Kook says, is now, Koruhu is being enlisted. He's getting a letter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like you get a letter from the army. Our generation, we don't know so much about that. I still remember Vietnam people getting letters. You're being called upon. The Baruch Shalom says, you have to come to sign up. You come to the office to sign up. You have to go out and fight on the front. We're sending you out into the yeshivas, to the schools. We're sending you to the Shabbos tables. We're sending you to the shuls, to the Batim Midrashim. We're sending you, where there's even one Jew in the world. You're being enlisted in Hashem's Baruch's army, in the Tzivos Hashem, not just in Chabad. Every Jew is being enlisted in Tzivos Hashem. Lord says to El HaMarocha, to go to the front, the Marocha, to go out to war. V'litzok, and what's the cry, the battle cry, that we have to scream out all those who are qualified to teach, to raise the generation, every single one, havu or, give us light, reveal to us the light of Torah, havu or. He explains, kol mi sheyochel liyashutaf likriya, lo shevel nishmas atar, whoever has the qualifications to be among those who are calling out for Jews to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all of Hashem's lovesick people to return to Him, to come back to Him. So you have to use all of our koiches and scream out, Havu Or. Give us light. Machze Acher, Legamre Acher, Hayinu Ro'im B'Doreinu. We would see a completely different picture of our generation. A completely different picture. Our generation would look entirely different. Completely different. The Ma'avak Mul HaKfira. With this struggle against Kfira, meaning against this loss of faith, which has led to all the other stuff. Kids at risk, adults at risk. The generation would look entirely different. Just like when I'm looking at the faces on this screen, I use a phone. I only have four, I can only see four people at a time. I know they told me, Shmuel told me on computer you could see many more people, but I have just a phone. When I'm looking at your faces, you look entirely different. The people that I'm looking at right now, all of whom I love, you look entirely different than other people that I will go and meet in Orthodox circles. You look different. That doesn't mean that you have to have a different haircut. That doesn't mean that you have to have a beard and payas. You look different. You look different. And the reason that you look different, that you have, like Rav Kook says, machze acher legamrei acher. You look different because it's Hashgacha Pratis that each and every one of you, not just to Eish Kodesh, to wherever you are in life, that you've become, Baruch Hashem, connected to this light that Rav Kook is talking about. And because you've become connected to that light, atem nirim legamrei acher. You look different. You look different. Again, I'm not talking about clothing. It's an afghan. I'm talking about clothing or yarmulke. You look different. You look different. Your children look different. Your grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, look different. The generation will look completely different. If there would be a chelak, if there would be a choshuva amount of Jews, Mibale HaKisharon, Mibale HaKishron, talented people, people who can help, HaMimuloyim B'Torah V'Seichel Tov, who are filled with Torah, but not just Torah, not just they know how to learn, Seichel Tov. You know what that means, Seichel Tov? You have people who know how to learn, but you'll forgive me, they don't have Seichel Tov. Seichel Tov. To be a Baal Seichel. Seichel Tov. Lavoid es Kerem Hashem b'soichei pnima. To tend, to work with, and tend to Hashem's Kerem, Hashem's vineyard. That's us, Jews. The Novi Yeshaya has a whole parak. Kerem Ha'lididi, my friend, means Hashem has a Kerem, a vineyard. And there, the friend is crying that the vineyard is being neglected. Hashem's vineyard is the Jewish people. And Hashem's vineyard, Hashem's kerem, a kerem has to be looked after all the time. A vineyard has to be looked after all the time. It needs a lot of attention, a vineyard. And Hashem's Baruch says that my vineyard, kerem, my vineyard is not being taken care of. Lavad is kerem Hashem b'soicha pnima lasik b'taharosam shemusoge ha'amuna v'ha'avayda. And how do you tend to the vineyard? Of course, with Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. Of course, with all of the Torah in the highest level. But the generation is not being cured by that. Now, there are those who are saying all the time, last week, it was before Yontif that I was interviewed by a very wonderful chaver that they're spreading Torah through on the radio through an interview, interviewing different people. So I've a few times had interviews with them, and it was about this. It was about the Indian of adults at risk. And I think that you all know that I signed up for this a long time ago. I enlisted for this. Not that I'm qualified, but I enlisted a long time ago. And I believe 1,000,000% that in addition to Gemara Rashi Taisvis and Mishnah Berurah, in addition to all of that, the only way to save our generation is La'asok b'tayrosam shemusage ha'munah v'ha'avayda, to clarify. La'asok b'birur ha'munah b'Hashem, to clarify what it means to believe in God. To explain to the generation what is Amunah. V'avaydas Hashem b'tzuvah tahira. And to teach in a way that's understandable to our generation in a pure way, but Surah Tahira, the low sigim shemakaklam is tahara samuna, without any sigim, at any garbage, things that are makalka that could chas v'chalila ruin the faith of our children and our grandchildren. To explain to them, what does it mean when you say the words animam and bemuna shleima, etc. What does that mean? So I spoke to her about it, and then I don't get involved in all the emails, but I don't have time to start this, but then people send the emails that when did you come up with such an idea? What do you mean? We have a cure, and the Gemara says that learning Torah is a cure, and we have the yeshivas are doing a gevaldik, and everybody's learning, and what are you talking about? If you teach Emunah, if you start telling them about all these different things in Amunah, that's going to get them, the kids, more and more confused. And if you talk to the adults about it, they're going to start wondering whether they really believe we should just learn Gemara Rashi Tosfos and so on. So let's just, I'm not going to even respond to that now. Let's just read what Rav Kook keeps on saying. The Birurun Shel Hadeyas Ben Yoneha Elokus. To enlist and sign up for to be the teachers who are going to clarify the Inyoni Elokus, matters of Elokus, of godliness, not just Shnaim Ochzim Metalis, but matters of Elokus, of understanding and believing in God. Hanavua, prophecy, Ruach HaKadosh. I told you once to have an old friend of mine, an old chavrus of mine. He told me that he was raising his kids all the years, and all the years at the Shabbos table was giving all kinds of divrei Torah, talking about this being, you know, halig, and this is halig, and this is halig, meaning kaddish, right? Kaddish, halig, it's holy, halig. And he said to me that my kids are already like, this one is 22, this one's 20, this one's 18. And finally, like the 22-year-old, like he asked at the Shabbos table, he said, do you mind me asking you this? I'm listening to you saying stuff at the Shabbos table, now he finally got up the nerve. I'm listening, you know, Shabbos, every Shabbos, you're talking about the halig and halig and halig. Could you tell me what that means exactly? What does it mean, holy? What are you talking about? So he told me, Svastafamfa, in Rashi says in the Ramban, you know, it means to be separated from bit. He said, that's what you mean, halig, to be separated from arayas. That's all you ever meant by the Shabbos table when you say halig of this and halig of that. So when you said the halig of Chavetz Chaim, you meant that the Chavetz Chaim didn't have a girlfriend? That's what you meant, that he's parish from arayas? You tell me, when you said the halig of Chassam Sofer, you meant that Chassam Sofer didn't have a girlfriend? I mean, I have to go to the mikveh, understand, if they're saying that. That's what you're saying? Tati, Abba, Daddy, that's what you're saying, the Heilige, who's the Heilige Baal Shem Tov? That's what you're saying. That's what Kedush is. I don't know, Kedush, what does it mean, holy? So this friend told me, he said, like I'm saying Heilige like this. And then finally my kid spoke up and said, I don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean, holiness? Each one of you, myself, we could do an experiment. Stop any yeshiva bachur, or bachuret, and ask them. The girls might have a little bit more of a mahalach. But if you stop the boys, stop one of the guys, a good-looking 16, 17-year-old guy, just finished Seder Nezikin, and ask him, my friend, tell me, what does it mean, Kadoshim Ti? And he'll say, Rashi and the Ramban. So now, come on. What does it mean, Halig? What does it mean, holy? What does it mean? What's Nevuah? Would you like to be a Navi? Come on. What's Nevuah? Are you aspiring? Would you like to be a Navi? What does it mean, Nevuah? What's Ruach HaKadosh? Hagula. What does that mean? Vatzipil Yeshua. You're longing for salvation? Come on. What are you longing for? You're longing for salvation? You're longing for Mashiach? What is Mashiach? What Bechlal is Mashiach? What's Geula? Shuas Ta'uma B'Shuas Ha'olam, the salvation of the Jewish people and the Yeshua of the world. What does that mean, that the world should have a Yeshua? Nobody will bother you? That's called the Yeshua? No one's going to bother you? All the anti-Semites are going to be gone? That's true, but that's what it means, the whole Yeshua? That's the end. That's the whole thing of Bereishis Elokim. That means the Baruch Shalom made such an inyan, a Bereishis Elokim. Such a complicated inyan, a Bereishis Elokim. He made such an inyan. And the whole tachlis of that inyan is that the anti-Semite shouldn't bother you? That the guy shouldn't pick on you? That's the whole tachlis of this whole undertaking of Bereishis Elokim. The anti-Semites are getting in the way of the tachlis, and they need to be taken care of. But that's the tachlis of Bereishis Elokim. But it says in the Rambam that we'll be able to have peace, and then when it will be peace, we'll be able to sit and to learn, and we'll be able to continue on and look what the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim. So what does it mean to be Dovok Tasha? What does it mean, Ubay Sidba? What does it mean, Dveikus Basha? Have you ever felt Dveikus Basha? So then the 16-year-old boy, since he's learned it, will say, oh, because one of the pshatim in Dveikus Hashem is to be dovek to Talmud Chacham, and I definitely have helped my Rebbe with his coat and his umbrella, I for sure. Do you really think that the tachlis of Dveikus is what you're doing, by the way, you're tzaddik, you're helping your Rebbe with his coat? Ashrecha. But do you think that the tachlis of Dveikus is to hold the umbrella for your Rebbe? That's a mahalach. But do you think that that's the tachlis? Do you think the Baruch Shalom got into the whole sugya of Bereishis Elokim? Listen, I know goyim that hold the umbrellas for their teachers. That's dveikus. What does it mean to be dovek b'Hashem? What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to the pshat and cholas ahava, the pshat, to be lovesick for Hashem? Look at the Rambam. That you can't think of anything else. Your mamish can't eat, you can't drink. That's the Rambam says. The Rambam was a... You think that the Rambam was a misnagid, right? That's what you think. The Yeshiva Bacha, the 16-year-old. You think that the Rambam was a misnagid. So the misnagid says that you're so sick with love for Hashem, you can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't drink. Like you felt for the girl that no one told your parents about. You know, the girl that you met once in the summer. Cholos Ahava. Shuvah Shalom, Tikkuni HaNeshama Shal Yechidim Shal Rabbi. Tikkuni HaNeshama Shal Yechidim Shal Rabbi. What does it mean? What does it mean to fix a neshama? You've seen in Svam that there's the meaning of Tikkun HaNeshama. What does that mean to fix the neshama of the individual and of the Rabbi of the many? Tikkun HaRuchai Shal Hadoros HaOivrim HaSidim HaHoiv Al Gabayim. So he explains, if only the Talmid Chacham, besides teaching all of the required limudim of halacha and gemara and so on, if only they would be teaching birur in yoni hamunav avodas Hashem, they would be explaining, what does it mean? What do all these things mean? What is amunah? What does it mean to believe in God? And avodas Hashem. V'advarim hoyu misparsamim, and there would be good writers and good teachers who would be mefarsim these things, who would be able to communicate these things to the generation. Like now you have Baruch Hashem, it's unbelievable. With all of the terrible things with the computer, but sof kol sof, you have Jews who otherwise would never be exposed to limudim of emuna, but now that they have an emun, they have a computer, they're able to pick up a shiur on these things somewhere. things would get out, to be mefarsim things. Nefoitzim u'mizbarim, they would become publicized and clarified. Harei shematzavo shel machne hamuna, if that were possible, Rav Kook says, then the matzav, the condition of the machne of hamuna, the camp of Orthodox Jews. He's not talking about Jews that are not affiliated. Remember, in Rav Kook's time, it's probably, in Rav Kook's time, it was not so pushed anymore, but there was still a considerable percentage that were observant. Certainly, in the Shtetlach, in these places, although things were falling apart, they were beginning to unravel. After World War I, things started mamish to fall apart. But he's talking to the Machne HaEmunah. That means the Orthodox camp. Machne HaEmunah. He says, he's not talking right now about people who are not connected to Yiddishkeit, Jews who are away. He says, the matzav of Machne HaEmunah, the matzav in our camp of Emunah, Hayatov Harbe Yaseh, would be much, much, much better. Gvura Acheres Hoysa Parachas Va'ola Be'edu Hashem HaNofus. A different kind of strength and confidence. When a Jew knows why he's doing this, why is he putting on tefillin? Why is he learning Torah? Why do they hate us? Why do they hate us? Why is it that they can't forgive us a little piece of real estate in the whole world, that they can't forgive the Jewish people to come home to our place and to be at peace? Why? Be a gvura acheres. You know, when you have a soldier that believes in what he's fighting for, it's a different soldier. When you have a soldier that just is, he's drafted, he didn't enlist, he's drafted, and he doesn't really believe in the war that he's fighting in, that's bad. I had a teacher like that. No, not when I was in school, but there was a teacher where I was teaching. There was a social studies teacher when I was teaching in yeshiva. And there was a guy, a Jewish guy, Berkowitz, and he was teaching social studies. And he fought in Vietnam, this guy Berkowitz. He wasn't from at all. He's a good guy, but no, not the Shemi Mrs. And Berkowitz said that he fought in Vietnam. He said, I spent all the time in Vietnam hiding behind trees and buildings. And I would sometimes stick out the gun and shoot like that. And then he went on, he gave me a whole drasha about how he was against the war. And he's like a liberal. He was a Welts liberal and against the war. And he didn't want to go to it. And he had to go. And he didn't. You don't know. If you don't listen, you might be a person that's, to begin with, not the omet slave, you know. Because I don't think I'd be doing too good, like, you know, if I'd be in an army. I don't think I'd be too good. But even if you are somebody that has some courage, if you don't believe in the Milcham that you're fighting, it's a major problem. And it's a song I read a long article of a few years ago, because it used to be in 48 and 56 and 67, used to believe that the Chayil, every Chayil was on fire with Emunah in what he was doing. But now it's not so pungent. There are many soldiers who don't believe anymore in this war, who don't believe in it. It's very dangerous if you're a soldier who doesn't believe in the war that you're fighting. Where does the Gevurah come from? Where does Gevurah come from? Look how the American army, how the Americans fought in World War II. Because they were fighting a war against Hitler, Yimach Shemo. And when they fought a war that they believed in, because it was so pushed that this guy is gonna take over, destroy the world. So when you believe in that war, it fills you with Gevurah. It fills you with strength. People are worried that if a Bach is going to learn who Hashem is and what does it mean to believe in Hashem, then he's not going to learn Gemara good. How could that be? I never could understand that svar. I just don't understand it. Why would your Gemara learning not be better? So I asked this many times to different people. And this, so one Rosh Hashiva told me that he's afraid that if he's going to start to learn Emunah, in Yom of Emunah, in other words, if he starts to learn Kuzri and Maharal, and Ramchal, I'm not talking about Chassidus. I wouldn't talk to that rabbi about Chassidus. If he starts from Kuzri, Maharal, and Ramchal, he's going to get so far hitched with the Maharal, he's going to fall over the Maharal, he's not going to run the Gemara. I said, I'm not talking about a 12-year-old. I'm talking about, at the right time, mature, introducing. And then, you know, no. I said, it seems to me, a svara pshuta, that when a Jew is filled with belief in Hashem, he's going to become more attached to Hashem's Torah. Now, I'm not naive enough. I understand that there are going to be some Yidden that they might discover that they feel more connected to the Maharal and the Ramchal than to the Blad Gemara. And they might go that Esek of Torah when they're older. No. The Gemara says Navadah Zarah. The Gemara says Navadah Zarah. I think that's Yud Zayin. You will excel in Torah if you focus on that area of Torah that your heart feels connected to. Everybody has to learn all the limudim of Yiddishkeit, but there's a reason, like the Rav says in Shulchan Aruch Rav, we have to all learn all of Torah, and therefore we come back to this world already a number of times. And if there's a certain part of Torah that you're specializing in right now, it's because your neshama needs that right now. And if you don't give that to this person, he's going to starve. Well, just look at it like the kids are doing and the adults are doing. They'll look at it someplace else. They'll look for it someplace else. But if you know who the Baruch Shalom is to the best ability that a human being can know through the Maharal, Ramchal, and Kuzri, and through learning the Ramban deep and so on, if you understand, then you have then it's a Gvura Acheres, a different kind of excitement and strength. For what? For the Blad Gemara. For learning Chumash Rashi. For learning about the Adam Demis Niyakarikis, for learning about the Negoim. Because you believe that when you're sitting down and you're learning this pasuk, Hashem is speaking to you. And you're trying to understand what he's telling you. As opposed to like a little kid where the Rebbe stands over to give a patch and he says, You believe in what you're saying. You believe that Hashem is speaking to you when you're learning. You believe that you're speaking to Hashem when you're davening. What are you looking at? Shul? People are not davening. They don't want to daven. Or people that are going so out of their minds now because they can't go to shul because they don't know what it means. Am I going to sit in the room and daven? Am I going to do my siddur? I don't know. I don't know what to do. When I go to shul like this, you know. You're in the place, so it's like you're, you know what I mean? Like by being there, it's like going to the car wash. The car doesn't have to do anything. You just go to the car wash and come out and you wash. So you go to shul, everybody walks into shul, Shabbos morning or whatever it is, different. He walks to the shul and then he feels good when he walks out of shul because he's Oizgadavin, he went to shul. So he's an Orthodox Jew, he went to shul. What happened in the car wash? In the car wash, what happened? When you were in shul, what were you Isaac in shul? So he comes back after the Kiddush Club and after everything, a couple of words here and there, without any thought, without any kavani, comes back and his wife said, how was shul today? So he says, this one down for the omen, that one down for the omen, this one's making an extension, this one's moving, this one thinks that should be Bibi, this one thinks it should be Gantz. You know, he was in the car wash, Gandig. So what about his Ahavas Hashem? What about his Yishamayim? What about his Dveikas Hashem? Stick of the whole idea of Tefillah is a Ratzon, Dveikas, Ahava, Yira. You were in Shul Shabbos for 2 hours, 2.5 hours if the rabbi was drained. You were in Shul for 2.5 hours. How did you come out from Shul? So now you have people, like they're all different kinds of people. I'm not saying everybody. Of course not. People get all upset and I start getting more emails. Which I don't even in many ways. Don't bother sending to me. I'm not talking about everybody. But there are a lot of people that they know that if they go to shul, they say some stuff and they did the shul thing and that they're on the program and they always get daven. In other words, I was davened. I davened. No, I can't. I davened. I'm always good davened. There's not, I don't know in English what to say. Always davened. Davening went, I went through the davening. It happened to me. Davening happened to me. Davening happened to me. So when you walk back from shul, you feel like a good Jew. Ah, I have no problem. I already made kiddush during the haftarah, but now I'm going to make kiddush again at home. And no, then I, after during haftarah, I made kiddush. Then there was a kiddush, of course, after davening, another kiddush. And then I walked into someone's house who was making a kiddush by his house. So after three or four kiddushim, and after three or four l'chaims, cholins and kugels, I'm able to come home and to feel fine about myself being an Orthodox Jew. What's missing? I didn't daven today. No, you went to shul today. See, the problem right now with the matzav that we're in Eretz Yisrael, it's getting a little bit lighter. But the problem right now here, I don't know what it's like with the Jews in Montana and South Dakota. New York was hit very hard. New Jersey hit very hard. But the problem is that when you daven in your house by yourself, which is it's a strange thing for us to live with, so then you got nothing else doing. You know, there were people that were upset with me. Not upset, I mean angry. But there were tzaddikim that at the beginning when this started, so it was suggested to me, and I'm not saying it's not a good idea because everybody's different. And again, I'm not criticizing to say that it wasn't a good idea, and it helps a lot of people. But for me, I didn't agree with it. And since I'm the rabbi of the shul, so I get to, you know, I'm not the head of my house over here, but I'm the head of the shul in that way. So I'm able to say that I don't want that we should have like a Zoom minion with everybody seeing each other and davening. And looking and being able to daven together in the house, so that when I'm davening in my house, I'm able to be together with the whole chevra. I davke felt with that, and I know there are people that disagree with me, and I respect that because there definitely is a mila to it. I know it. I know there's a mila to it, and I appreciate the mila because there's a mila being with. I understand that mila, but my understanding has been throughout this thing that Kosh Baruch, and again, I respect that people disagree with this. But I'm just saying my opinion has been throughout that because Baruch Hu says, I want you to sit with me and talk to me alone. To face me alone. Look, I was a very shy guy when I was growing up. I might not look like it now because I could talk to big groups, but when I want, I'm like, I'm a shy person. So I am. And I never, I grew up in a modern Orthodox yeshiva, modern Orthodox chevra, and we used to have parties. You know, there were parties. The girls would have a sweet 16, and there were different parties. You didn't have to have an occasion. It was a matzah Shabbos. There were parties. There were parties. They weren't wild parties like now. They were starting to get a little bit funny. You know, like in the 70s, they're starting to get funny. But they weren't crazy things. But there were parties. I never went. I hated going to parties. Once or twice, I got dragged to one by my friend. But I hated parties. I hate a party. I never like going to parties. But there are people who have a very big chias with parties. Now you take that same person at the party and he's like the guy at the party. And then you sit him down with one person, with one girl. You know, just like one-on-one. No one's there, just like outside. This guy's gehakt at tzaros. You know how many times I've had bochum guys that have told me that they don't know, they're going with a date and they're not sure. And I said, I don't understand. You're going to parties for the last 7 years. You don't know how to talk to a girl. I'm talking about from this kind of chav. You don't know how to talk to a girl? No, Rabbi, I never really spoke, you know, like serious one-on-one. I never spoke serious one-on-one. So again, I might be wrong, but I believe that one of the big yonim of what we're going through is Hashem is saying, I'd like you to talk to me one-on-one. Can you come outside with me? Let's sit outside by the porch. I want to talk to you one-on-one right now. You get back to the party, but I want to talk to you one-on-one. I'm not saying feel that Steve is a party. I'm using it as a muscle. But you get back to the chevra. But I want to talk to you one-on-one. Why don't you just go to shul like I'm always gedavened. This Shabbos, Parshas Tezri Metzorah, I did everything that the Orthodox Jew could possibly do, which is what? Shachas Mincham Arv. Shachas Musaf Mincham Arv. I did everything the Orthodox. I was thinking, I said to my wife the other day, wow, could you imagine? Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen like this. And I don't know what's going to be, because every day we don't know what's going to be. Could you imagine if this whole sugya of Corona would have happened in Elul Tishrei? I was talking to my wife, we were talking about this the other night. Like, what would have been Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Oh, we would have figured out the Shofar business. We could have figured that out. But what would have been, like, what would that be, Kol Nidre? Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Chalil. What would that be, Kol Nidre? On about Tirim, L'Spalim, and Avariya, only Avariya in the room. You understand? I don't want to translate that. At least when you say, by Kol Nidre, that he's saying that I'm davening with Avariyanim. So there are, he's the Avariyan, he's the Avariyan. You have Avariyanim, you figure, in the room. But now you're the only guy in the room, so who's the Avariyan? What would be Yom Kippur to, God forbid, be by ourselves? What kind of Hakafa, tell me, would it be Simchas Torah? What's for Hakafa is this? What's for Hakafa? Take a Chumash. And if you're lucky enough to have your own Sefer Torah, so you take your wife and kids, and then your Erev Simchas Torah, they're going to make a Zoom Hakafa, you understand? So you can have Zooming Hakafa. What would be Hashanahs? What are you going to do? You're going to walk around your desk? What are you going to do? You put your kid in the middle and walk around like an Indian chief? What are you going to do? So Bereshit didn't do it. Bereshit didn't do it Tishrei. Chalila should never be, everybody should be healthy and well, and they should be gone forever. Gone forever. So Hashem Yisroch made it Noch Pirim, Purim, after Purim Nisan, Pesach. Pesach, where it says already in Torah, not to leave your house. Pesach, Seder. Big hit to the Passover programs, right? Big hit to the Pesach program. Again, I'm sorry about the Panasa stuff, but big hit. People, like having to be just there with your kids, with your wife. Not even all the cousins, all the stuff, and just like this. When you're a person that you understand who you're talking to, then you know what you're fighting for. You know what you're fighting for. You're filled with a gevura. When you love your wife, you love your kid. When you know your wife, you know your kid, and you love them, you'll do anything to fight for them. It's not the same with a stranger. So how could it be if the Baruch Hashem is a stranger to you? How could you be a gibor? If you don't believe in the war that you're fighting, you hide behind the tree. You hide by Kiddush Club. You understand? You hide in shul. B'soich ami anochi yoshevitz. With the rest of the Avarayana. With Amach Kulam Tzadikim. You hide in shul. Now Hashem Yisbach said to us during Corona, Hashem Yisbach said, you can run, but you can't hide. You still want to be an Orthodox Jew, my friend, you have to daven by yourself. You can't be ois gedaven. You can't walk into the room and come out ois gedaven. Because ad kedekach, you're not such a mishugan. I mean, maybe there are, I don't know. Maybe there are people who designated a room in the house for davening, and they has svarim, and they put it up, Shivisi Hashem, and they just walk in, make it like a little bit of a tikkun, a kiddush, and then they walk out and they tell their wives, I daven. I mean, that's what happens in shul, that happens, no? I mean, a couple of words. Can you imagine? Do you think people have now in their homes? I didn't even think about this until now. You think that somebody has in their home like a room that's designated because it has the svarim and everything, and they have their room, and they put on the wall a picture of the Chavetz Chaim and the Lubavitcher Rebbe or something about Moshe, and they have it says Shivisi Hashem like this, they put up in the room, and then they just walk into the room in the morning, and then they come out a little bit, and they have mezainis and some schnapps, and they go to the davening room, and they're there for a few minutes, and they come out, and the wife says, Yankel, davened? Yeah, you didn't see me go into the room? That's the davening room. I went into the davening room. You didn't see me go into my davening room? I didn't ask you. I asked you, did you, the wife says, I didn't ask you, did you, I know you went into the sanctuary. You went into the shul here, the shtiebel. I know you went into the shul, but I'm asking you, did you daven in the shul? So, I mean, it's funny at home, like, you know, it's a funny situation that we're in. What am I going to do with that question? I'm making jokes in this thing, but it's not so funny. It's not so funny. You make a kiddush club in your shul at home? You have a kiddush club in your little shul in the house? By your room? You have a kiddush club there? Do you talk during davening? Who do you talk to? You talk during davening? Maybe you take your phone with you during davening in your house too? In your house, you also have your phone? You take your phone with you in your house? Or only like when you're amcha, when you're, you know, you can get like among the people, you can have your phone, take a look and give a little bit of a swipe during davening. You do that at home too? A swipe during davening? Doesn't it feel funny? When you're in shul and there are 50 other people around you, doesn't feel funny, right? Why is it, but at home, doesn't that feel funny to you? You walk into your little shul at home and it's time not to daven. And zukt ashrei. And you start going on your thing. Doesn't that feel funny to you? And you have your tikkun. You come out 5 minutes later. You swiped. You had a tikkun. And your wife says, how was davening today? And you say, oh, don't ask this one. This one's wife had to go to the hospital. This one has this. This one has that. She said, how do you do all that in the room? There's nobody there. It's just you and God. Just you and the Baruch Shalom. How'd you come back with so much news? From the room. So you say, I have my phone. So even in the room, you're able to have a kiddush club. So I was against the Zoom thing for davening. Not for learning. For learning, it's a hatzolah, unbelievable. But for davening, I don't like it. Again, I'm not saying that people that do it are not doing good things. I personally don't agree with it. I don't want to feel that that right now. I love to feel that when I'm with the Chevrich, we'll be davening together. That's Tfilah B'Tzibur. But this is not a tzibur. This is not tzibur. We're just making believe it's a tzibur. I don't like to make believe. I don't like to make believe. I did that when I was a kid. I don't make believe anymore. I mean, sometimes I make believe I live in Yerushalayim. But I don't like to make believe. I don't like to make believe anymore. I'm not making believe that I'm in shul. I'm not in shul. So I'm not making believe that I'm in shul. I'm home. And there's only two people. No, there's only one person in this room. That's me. And the Baruch Shalom. Nobody else. No make-believe. There's not fantasy. There's not Disney. There's no one else here in the room. It's not called Tfilah B'Tzibur to have Zoom. It's not Tfilah B'Tzibur. It's just me and the Baruch Shalom. When a person gets to know the Baruch Shalom, he's not afraid to talk to him. The guy that's in the party his whole life, he doesn't know what to do to talk to the girl. He doesn't know how to talk to the girl. Because he's always with the party. He's always with the guys, the girls, he's the chevra, never by himself. I'm sorry for using such crust mishalim. It's not nice to talk to fine people like you using mishalim that are not so refined. But I think that you could appreciate when I speak to you with mamalosh. I hope you can. It's mamalosh. I want to talk straight. I don't like the jaying around. It's straight. And people get upset with me, but I have to talk straight. If we would talk straight to Jews about the Baruch Shalom, and they would feel a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they would know more about who they're talking to, and why they're learning, and who's talking to them, and who they're talking to. Learning is Hashem talking to you, and davening is you're talking to Him. Then it would be a Gvura Acheres. It would be a different Gvura. Then the machna of Torah would feel like a gibor. Then you know, guess you know, one of the things that would happen then, that for you to be the kind of Orthodox Jew you want to be, you don't have to put down other Jews. Could you imagine? Could you imagine such a Jewish people? Not having to put down Chabad, Litvaks, Hungarians, Galicianas, Svardim, Taimanim, Harakins, Modern Orthodox, Misnachlim, Anti-Zionists, Zionists. If you're a Gibor, you don't have to put anybody down. You know why? Because you believe in your fight and you're confident in who you are and you could have respect and love everybody else. No problem. When does all this stuff start? He, she's no good, this is no good, that's no good. Because you have no confidence. Your Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit without Gevura. Your Yiddishkeit is not strong. So the only way you can make yourself feel like you're somebody is by putting other Jews down. But if you would be a strong Jew, you don't feel insecure if somebody does things a little bit differently. You don't have to feel insecure. You don't have to attack. You can say, he has his Rebbe. Huh? Isn't that? I have my Rebbe, he has his Rebbe. I'd be comfortable with that, but he doesn't have to be comfortable with it. That doesn't mean that I'm going to put him down, but I don't love the guy. Because it's a Yiddishkeit, when Yiddishkeit is filled with Gevura, and you know why you're a Jew and who you're davening to, you don't have this inferiority complex that you have to go around pounding your chest, you know, like a caveman. The reason that people have to pound their chest like that is because they feel insecure. The guys that beat up their wives is because they feel like worthless dirt, because most of them were beaten up. Those are the ones that beat up their wives and kids. But if you're somebody, and if you're a person that has that gvura of what it means to be a Jew, to know why I'm a Jew, and why I'm in this, why am I fighting in this? Well, what's this war about against Tuma? What's this war for Mashiach about? What is this war for Eretz Yisrael about? Why are we fighting for Eretz Yisrael? Why are we fighting for Yiddishkeit? That gives you gvura. I don't understand how you can learn it any other way. I just don't understand how to learn it any other way than what the way Rav Kook is learning. Just to finish the sentence, Ilu kacha yu oisem haya machna hatera margish atzmo gibor ba yecholus his moidudus samakfira. And then we would have no problem contending with this issue of kfira, that there's a shortage of faith, because we ourselves are filled with faith, and we're going to fill our children and grandchildren with it, because we're overflowing with it. Then we don't have a problem dealing with it. But if the only thing you know is Kiddush Club, and your kid is going off the derech, your kid doesn't want to put on tefillin, exactly what are you going to do for him? You know what you're going to do. You're going to have tainus against the yeshiva. So how come the yeshiva didn't make him into a frum kid? How come he doesn't want to put on tefillin? You're going to have tainus about some friend that your son has that messed him up. You're not going to have tainus about yourself. How come your kid wasn't ignited with the fire of Emunah in your own life, in your own home? That you're not going to have a tainus. And you're going to go scrambling looking for some school. You're going to have to, some special place you're going to have to send them away to for $80,000 a month, to someone that will talk to them about God and help them out or something. So you have the school to blame. Oh, of course, internet is the problem. Internet, that's the first. Internet's the problem. Yeshiva messed them up. He's got a bad rabbi. His friend messed him up. And what's there to do for the kid? You're the Kiddush Club guy. What are you going to do? Give him some schnapps? That's his problem. He's drinking. He's taking drugs. Now you're going to give him a drink? You're the Kiddush Club guy. You're the guy that was ois gedavin in the shul, went in, went out. You didn't give him over a feeling of who God is, of who the Bar Olam is. So what do you want from the kid? What do you expect from him? And what are you going to say to him? Chalil, if that happens. What are you going to say to him? Tefillin is so important. You got to put on tefillin. So he looks at you like, oh, give me a break. I see how you put on tefillin. Or sometimes don't. Give me a break. So why is it so important to me? I mean, you're so big on tefillin. What do you care about tefillin? So we don't have the strength to answer these questions. So then the only thing you can do is either, the only thing is, you pound your chest, you're angry. And you blame the Rebbe, you blame the school, you blame the shul, you blame the kid, you You blame the computer. You blame your wife. You blame everybody. You blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You blame everybody. But you don't take achrayas. You don't take achrayas. Hashem should help us to understand what Rav Kook is saying. It should sink deep, 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 deep inside of us. I'm asking our Chavim, I see that Chavim and Eretz Yisrael is almost Shabbos. I'm asking Chavim and Eretz Yisrael to daven for us over here strong. The matzav is still not good over here. You understand? It's much better by you. Usually, we daven a lot for you over there because of the tzaros that you often have in Eretz Yisrael because of our enemies. And we're the ones that are davening so hard for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm asking you in Eretz Yisrael to daven hard for us over here. There are a lot of sick people here. I know there's still in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Yirachem, but here there are a lot of people who are sick. So now we're turning the other way. Please, please, the daven Eretz Yisrael strong for your brothers and sisters in Chutz Lars. And the time will come together. We'll all be together where we belong, and there won't be any more. Come, Machlis, Shabbat, time. Awesome, the Hashem will put all these sicknesses upon our enemies. And we should be Zerchim, 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 Z